That's right. Mark Caboli joins us right now, usually for a full hour on Mondays. We didn't do the show yesterday. It was Starkey and intern Dom, which I heard was quite the trip, which is not surprising at all. So Caboli joins us right now. Mark, good morning to you on day one of OTAs. I can hear your excitement breathing through the phone.
It's my anger of the kid just forgetting her lunch. So I'm kind of upset as I'm at the bus stop right now. So
what's the backup plan then? You just eat lunch at school? You have to pay for it?
Yeah, I mean, my last words were, I don't care. Buy lunch.
Right. Why are you at the bus stop then?
Because I had to drive him to the bus stop. For some reason, I have to drive like a half a mile to a bus stop for a fourth grader. It's kind of crazy.
All right. We had Jeremy Fowler. We played him in the last segment talking about if the Steelers strike out on Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins could be an option. Do you see that? Are you hearing the same things, Mark?
No, I did not hear that. I would find that very, very, maybe not hard to believe, but nothing really makes sense right there. I mean, just look at the salary. I guess there's always an option of getting the Falcons to pay the majority of that contract that's left, or the money that's left on that contract. But at that point, why don't you just hold him at that point? So that's the big thing. I mean, I'm sure if he was $1.2 million, he'd be right on the radar.
Sure.
But with that kind of money, you might as well just stick with Rudolph if Rodgers doesn't show up, right?
That's what I say too, yeah.
Mark, let's take the money out of it. Like, do you think it would be a good idea for Kirk Cousins, the quarterback, on the field? Do you think he still has it? Do you think he would do well as the Steelers quarterback this year?
Wow. He was up and down last year. I mean, I say he has some left in him. He's not the Kirk Cousins from 3, 4, 5 years ago that leading the Vikings to championship caliber play there. So I think if you're looking at an option, who's better one way or the other, I think Rodgers would be a better bet right now, even if it is, you know, $10 million. But like I said, I just don't see the thought process behind that. If you already have Mason Rudolph right now, I mean, how much better can Kirk Cousins really be? I don't think he would be. So I think Cousins is okay, but that's not going to get you where you need to go. At least with Aaron Rodgers, there's always that, well, what if? Maybe he does find that MVP caliber play. I don't know if Kirk Cousins is that guy right now.
Mark Caboli joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. I'm going to say he's not that guy. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Multiple texters have blown us up, Doran, that Talbot's only sells women's clothing. And so if Kirk Cousins and myself are buying our clothes there, we got some splaining to do. People are writing in. Anyway, you think T.J. Watt will be at OTAs, Mark?
That's a tough one because last year he skipped the first week, right? But there's only 2 out of 2 weeks this year instead of 3 weeks. TJ is a guy that has a newly born kid, his first one. So I could see him sitting out or just not showing up to spend a little bit extra time with the family before getting into it. So I set that at 50-50 right now. I wouldn't be surprised if he's not there, but I would look at many different factors rather than his contract status of reason why he wouldn't be there. Like I said, the main one being just having, you know, being a 30-year-old, soon to be 31, and being a guy that has a young child at home. So I think he'll eventually show up. If he doesn't show up this week, OTAs, I think he would definitely be there next week. And I don't think he's going to participate at all. Participate as in much more than individuals and that's it. But I don't think he really needs more than that.
Mark, who are you keeping your eye out on? Who do you excited to see as OTAs open up today?
You really can't get excited about either the offensive or defensive linemen because there's only so much they're able to do. in this setting. So you look at skill players. So, the biggest one that jumps out to me, who should jump out to you because he does have a year under his belt, is Roman Wilson. I mean, he should be getting enough reps, and he should have enough grasp of the playbook that he should be really standing out here early. And I wouldn't be surprised in 2 weeks, 3 weeks from now, we say he's the best guy. He had the best OTAs out of them all, just for those reasons I said. And they need him to step up. I think he knows. And I think I don't think last year was much of a talent issue. You saw the talent really come through on multiple occasions on the practice field. I think it was just more of a fact that he just got hurt at the absolute wrong time and being a rookie. So, him, Caleb Johnson, some of those type of guys. But I think Roman Wilson will be a guy that's really, really, you'll hear some chatter about him after this, maybe even after this week.
Yeah, we were talking about Roman Wilson earlier in the show because wide receivers can still go out there and strut their stuff. They're not getting their heads taken off over the middle of the field, but you can run routes, see your understanding of the offense. Not so much with like offensive linemen or linebackers, but Troy Faltanu, Cole Holcomb, other guys coming back from injury. What are your expectations for them? And, I mean, can Cole Holcomb work his way into the rotation this year?
Yeah, I mean, that's the guy that's become pretty much a forgotten dude, right? I mean, you talk about Peyton Wilson and you talk about Patrick Queen. You don't really think of Cole Holcomb coming back off of that injury, but he was, pretty dynamic in his first year here before he got hurt. So it is going to be a guy you want to keep an eye on too as well. You see if there's any issues with the knee coming off of what he had endured a couple years ago or last year. Was that last year? I don't know when it was. It wasn't last year. It was a year and a half ago. Because last year he practiced a lot. I mean, he actually was out on the field probably for the second half of the year, not in a formal capacity, but at least in out there working out with different injured players and some of the other guys, and he looked pretty decent there. So I don't know where he fits in that. As for Faltanu, I mean, I think that offensive line is pretty much set. I mean, you're not going to do anything right there. You know the starting five right there, and I think those guys have pretty much got a little bit of a bad rap, saying they're one of the worst offensive lines in the league. There's a reason for that, because all of them are young as all. They're very young. They're going to have to take that step this year. I think they have a very good chance of having a good offensive line if, everybody lives up to their draft billing. So I'm interested to see Faltanu. And then once again, that's something you can't see until, first week of August,
right?
Probably, or you put the pads on. So you're just assuming right now how he moves and stuff like that. So it's really, really hard to get a grasp on what he's going to mean to, or how far along he is right now.
Mark, how do you think the rep distribution will go at quarterback with Will Howard and Mason Rudolph? It's not like Mason Rudolph was here last year. I mean, he's learning a new offense. Clearly, Will Howard, the draft pick, is going to be learning a new offense. How do you think that distribution of reps will go as OTAs move along?
Well, it probably will start today with Rudolph 1. I wouldn't be surprised if Skylar Thompson's 2, just because of how they like to do things of, guys who are or somewhat veterans are in the league a little bit longer, getting more reps early on. But at this point right now, you better get Mason Rudolph ready for the camp and OTAs, even though we're pretty sure, if not 100% sure, that Aaron Rodgers will be in town here within a week or two, or depending on who you listen to, maybe he was in the Strip District last week, right? But so you have to get him ready. Will Howard, you're just worrying about more developmental stuff right now. If he knows how to get in and out of the huddle, get the play calls through, just get him ready not to be overwhelmed by St. Vincent College when you get there. I'm not too really worried about some of his throws right now or some of his reads or anything like that on 7-on-7, 11-on-11, air on air, or whatever they call it. I just more worry about him getting ready for this. But I think at this point right now, as we sit right now, you have to get Mason Rudolph ready like he's going to be the starter.
Tomlin will talk today, right?
I don't think so.
Can you put in a request for him? Is that how that goes? I'm not talking about you personally, but just the beat writers.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. A lot of times he's like the players, which we'll be told about 137 times today that it's optional. So typically Tomlin only talks during mini camp. He'll talk during all three of those times, but I would assume if he did get requested, I'm not quite sure how that really works. Now, it would be up to his discretion. I guess it would be. He wouldn't, put it this way, he wouldn't be very helpful with his answers at this point right now. So, but he does definitely have to talk in minicamp in 2 weeks. So it's going to be tough. I mean, you're not going to get a lot of, as of right now, we're only allowed to get guys coming off the field. And you know how that works, Adam. They come out in masses, and you grab one, and you turn around, and nobody else is left there.
Yeah, so you're trying to pick off a wildebeest. And you, some of the younger guys, they might not know the score, and you can grab them. But the vets, they're up in the pack, and they make it hard to get to. All right, Mark, cheer up, buddy. You sound so down today, Mark, because you got to go cover OTAs. It's your job, man. Get in there.
Fun. It gives me something to do. It's fun, but I just don't like sitting there and now hearing all these narratives of so-and-so is looking great, this guy needs to start, when it is what it is. I mean, it's just a get-together. It's like a pickup football game in the back of the Giant Eagle parking lot or somewhere, you know, the grass field in the back of there. That doesn't really matter come then. I mean, you're really not going to be able to determine a lot, but some will believe that it does determine a lot.
All right, very good. Mark, appreciate your time.
Whatever. All right, fellas. We'll see you. Hey, Harry, welcome back.
Thank you.
See you. See Mark Caboli, formerly of The Athletic, now a Pat McAfee insider. He dropped a couple of the cliches. I'll tell you what. When we talk to him and we talk to Ray and we talk to Jeff, we're going to be cliched out these next couple of weeks.
Yep.
He hit us with an in and out of the huddle. That's what they got to figure out. If Will Howard can lead him in and out of the huddle, which always makes me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a game.
Right.
It's OTAs. He'll get him in and out of the huddle. Also, we heard a best shape of his life. He makes one of those in there. We also got a football in shorts from Mark Caboli.
But in and out of the huddle, it's not like it used to be, though, because you're coming from a college system that they don't really huddle. Most college systems don't huddle. So that there is a point to that. You don't really get down on your knee and have a whole huddle in college. When do you ever see that?
Oh, that guy was born for the huddle, though. Haven't you heard Will Howard talked to the assembled media? This guy, he has been repping that his whole life. This guy is going to own the huddle.
Hmm.
Going to own it.
Okay.
It would be the most Steelers thing of all time, though. Mason Rudolph, number one. Skylar Thompson, number two. And then Will Howard, number three.
Yeah, that's probably how it's going to go.
Yep. I would hope that if Rodgers doesn't show up, though, that's not the order of operations come the season. Like, if Mason Rudolph's leg falls off, God forbid, week three, I would like to see Will Howard. I have no use for Skylar Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
With all due respect.
Mm-hmm.
That does nothing for anybody, right?
No.
And Mason goes down midway through the year, and then, all right, we're handing it over to Skylar Thompson. I mean, that would help, I suppose, tanking.
That, I mean, he knows the offense the best, but that's it.
Because he's been around the longest.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I would rather see Will Howard than Skylar Thompson. My God. We'll react to some of what Caboli had to say. Also, it's 100 days, Doran, until the NFL season kicks off. And so I've been sitting over here trying to come up with my top 100 things I'm looking forward to seeing before the NFL season. And you know me, now that I've started, I have to finish it.
Yeah.
So I've got 15 things I'm looking forward to so far.
Okay.
So far.
All right.
On my list of 100. But I feel like I need to mix some of these in right now or else I'm not going to have time to get all 100 in.
It's true.
All right. So here are, and this is in no particular order. These are just the things that popped into my head.
You're doing it now or next?
I'm going to do a couple of them now. I got to do a few every segment.
Okay.
Top 100 things I'm looking forward to this NFL season.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Pickett with the Browns.
Okay. I like that.
Shedeur Sanders with the Browns.
Okay.
Dylan Gabriel with the Browns. Joe Flacco with the Browns. No Deshaun Watson with the Browns. All right, I'm browned out. No Justin Tucker is one. The return of Dak Prescott. The first tush push. Pickens with the Cowboys. Najee Harris with the Chargers. All right, there's 10.
Nice.
I got only 90 to go.
Yeah, I think you could get there.
The question is, should I?
Yeah.
All right. Only 90 things to go. 90 things we're looking forward to seeing this NFL season. The average cost of gear for a firefighter, easy for me to say, is over $13,000. That's why we're hosting the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union to raise funds for volunteers who serve our community. You can donate now at 937thefan.com, presented by Cintas, Southside Plumbing and Heating, Target Freight Management, and Glick Fire Equipment. Apparently, I will be watching 13-9.
Yep.
At the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon.
Yes, you will.
In my van.
I think we'll probably do it inside.
You said we're going to do it in the van. That was the deal.
It always comes back to the damn van.
Yeah, the damn van.
That's the punishment of it, Doran. You agreed with it at the time.
That's a pretty good point.
But I think that there's going to be more than two, three other people that are going to want to watch it with us.
I think we'll have people in and out the entire time making fun of me and watching
it. I can have a second monitor coming out the trunk. I got folded seats that I can put out there.
Okay.
We could grill burgers out the back, hand them to people while they watch. Crowley just has to be inside, right next to me. That's the goal there.
Okay. All right.
I've been watching old backyard brawls because I'm a friggin' loser.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that I'll be going to the game and I'm not going to have to pay. And if I had to pay, I don't know if I was going to go because Ireland's probably going to be fairly pricey. And I've just been watching old backyard brawls and I miss the old days, man.
Yeah.
These teams hated each other in a way that I don't think's possible anymore.
Well, I mean, they were in conference, and it usually meant something for at least one team or both teams whenever they played, and it was at the end of the year. It was around Thanksgiving.
Yep.
It was cold. There was a lot more to get excited for, I guess, whenever the games were played back, 10 years ago.
When they bring it back, because now it's going to go on another hiatus after this year, they got to find a way to put it at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Florida and Florida State always play at the end of the year. Clemson and South Carolina play at the end of the year. All kind of teams play non-conference games at the end of the season. I think Pitt and West Virginia need to bring it back that way. Much better. But I digress. So we'll watch 13-9. You can come by, say hello, donate to help firefighters. Who wouldn't want to donate to help firefighters? We'll react to Caboli in a second. Do I try actually to go through my top 100 things I'm looking forward to?
I was trying to think of how you could do it. I mean, I guess that you could do it, what, if you do five a week, would that equal to, or if you do one a day. Yeah, but
for 100 days.
Yeah, but only 5 days a week because we're only on 5 days a week. So, what would that equal? I can't do the math right now. Maybe if you do one a day. Just do one a day until the season opens.
This is the most interesting thing you've ever tried. You got to fulfill it.
I know. I did the thing where I started to do it, even though we didn't talk about me doing it. Now I feel like I have to do it, but I don't really want to do it.
I feel like if we both do it together, we can spare one segment a day of saying one of the things we're looking forward to this NFL season.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, one segment a day until the season kicks off.
Do we start today?
We just did it.
You did 10, right? You rattled off 10 and made that last segment go long.
Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It's so nice to have Harry back.
Mm-hmm.
Texter, backyard brawl or the game? Which is the better rivalry? I don't know, but Pat Bostic did his top 25 Pitt players of the last 20 years, and man, that is tough.
Very.
That is tough. Where'd you come in? Number 11?
Yeah, for him. Yep. And I even told you offline, I wouldn't even put me in the top 25 because I would base it off of full body of work.
Now you were an All-American.
But full body of work? Like, I mean,
if you go full body of work, I don't know where Kenny winds up then.
Right.
Because he... I mean, he was third in Heisman voting. He's
I don't think that he would
list.
Be like, I don't know, if I do a full body of work, I don't know if he'd be fifth, but he'd definitely be top 10.
Right.
You know?
Because he was pretty average until he was outstanding. I'm not taking anything away from Kenny. That's just the way it is.
Like, how outstanding was that 1 year if you have only 1 year? Like, that would base that. I would be like, okay, like, that's where I would place you. Or do you have, like, three really good years, which a lot of guys did.
Right. And now, I mean, anymore... Like, from this point forward, so it's 2025. So in 2050, when Pat Bostic is hosting the Saturday morning Pitt show, and he wants to rank players from 2025 to 2050, the top 25 guys, I think you're going to see a lot of one-year dudes.
Yeah. Like,
the math is going to change on all that.
And then how many dudes would you count, or would they be playing for a different school?
Right.
Like, would you?
Like, Jordan Addison made his list, and he had a great year, but USC would also claim him.
Right.
But moving forward, as Mike Sullivan would say, I do think... you're going to have a lot of guys who are going to be top 25 in a 25-year-old in a 25-year period who are only going to play a year, which is wild. That's the other thing that, and now we're totally off course, but who cares? We're having fun on a Monday, or Tuesday, whatever day it is. Like, watching those old backyard brawls, you had dudes who played in four or five consecutive backyard brawls, so the hate was different than it would be. Like, Eli Holstein played last year, and he had a classic moment. Keaton Slovis played in one game.
Mm-hmm.
But Keaton Slovis will always get remembered because they won that game, the Devonshire pick. But back then, I mean, you had dude blood, every sweat, year. Tears for 4 years, and they're all whippy old guys.
Yeah, you knew what you were getting yourself into. You knew that you were gonna, you knew that Steve Slayton was going to be there. You knew that Pat White was going to be there. You didn't have that feeling where it's like, oh, maybe that West Virginia will have a new quarterback this year because Pat White got the bag and he's going to Alabama. Like,
right.
You know, you never worried about that.
He's going back to Gaffney.
Right, he's going back to Gaffney. You never worried about that. So, yeah, it is way different now. I don't know if we'll ever get back to that. I hope that we do, some way. Maybe contracts with NIL and contracts with schools and transfer portals. Like, you have to play a certain amount of years, and you know, to play 3 years. And if your coach leaves, you can leave. But if you play 3 years, and then you can go somewhere else your senior year if you want to.
There, at some point, you'd have to think something like that will come.
It has to, right?
Please, because I love. If West Virginia had a great year this year, Pitt has a great year this year, you'll remember these players fondly forever, depending on what they win. But you can't wrap your arms around a guy who's not here for 4 years the same way you could if they were. And look what college football made us miss. We could have had Kenny Pickett v. Will Grier in 2017 and 18. Backyard brawls. That would have been awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get it. Kenny never played West Virginia.
Yeah, he played Penn State, though.
He did.
Right.
He did. It's
been nice to play both.
No crap, but one school's scared, despite the fact they played in the national semifinal this year.
The way West Virginia plays Pitt, I'd be scared too.
Hey, Harry, I'm happy you're going to lose your election. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. For more of that vicious back and forth, come attend the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon as we sit down and watch 13-9.
I hate
week.
To say this. It's almost best that the series is split like this year. I mean, obviously, I want Pitt to win. Obviously, I think Pitt's going to win. But I think for the series to amp it up whenever it does come back again in, what, 3-4 years, whenever it is, if it does, I think it's best for this series this time around to be 2-2.
Well, thank you for saying that. I feel exactly the same way.
Just saying. Just for the entertainment.
You can make the argument real quick on this, too, and we'll get to Caboli's thoughts on OTAs and what he had to say, particularly about the offensive line, which I think is interesting. But you can make a reasonable argument, because I went back and watched these games this weekend, because, again, no life and I'm a loser. Both teams could probably state a reasonable case why they should be 3-0 in this current rendition of the series.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, Pitt wins the first game, but it was in comeback fashion. Pitt wins the third game, but it was in comeback fashion. If Pitt got even average quarterback play,
they probably went down to West Virginia.
They probably didn't win down to West Virginia. West Virginia fans think they blew the other two games. Pitt fans feel like they grabbed it from, you know, that the game was lost, but that they come back and win it. Like, so
that's why it's great.
It's awesome.
That's exactly why it's great.
All three games came down to the wire. All three games, multiple times in the game, you think your squad's going to win. It's been a great series again.
Mm-hmm.
In the two games that weren't the one in Morgantown, because that was disgusting. It was awful football. But the two games that have been in Acrisure,
popping.
Those were classics.
Yep.
Instant class. They didn't go my way, but those games were awesome. Devonshire pick six. West Virginia at the end of the game almost tie it up, but the ball by an inch hits the ground. And then the 38-34 game with Eli Holstein in second and third. I mean, classic games. Played every year. Anyway, total digression there. Apologies. And people are mad that I keep saying anyway, and I'm realizing that I am doing it a lot. So I'll figure out how to stop that. It's become quite the crutch for me.
Anyway.
Coming up next, we'll finally react to what Mark Caboli had to say about OTAs, but that was a nice little break from Steelers talk. All right, Mark Caboli joined us a while ago now, talking about OTAs and some of the things he's looking forward to. And one of the things we can't learn much about is the offensive line, but he said he thinks the Steelers could have a good offensive line this year. Get Feltanu back to play right tackle, move Broderick Jones to his natural left tackle position. I'll take it a step further. We better. If we don't, what becomes of this Steelers offensive line? All of a sudden, you're going to go into next year's draft, and you're going to have to start addressing the line all over again. They're trying to do this Eagles rebuild. You have Frazier at center. Now you have your two pillars on left and right tackle. You've got Mason McCormick at right guard, and then you've got your high-priced guy, Seumalo, at left guard. Like, this is it. You better be good. If not, you're not going to see Broderick Jones, I wouldn't think, next year.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to see a Mason McCormick just be penciled in as a starter. If you want to be the Eagles, they better put up. And I'm not so sure I believe that they can. I'm worried about, in particular, Broderick Jones. Like, you wonder if his head's screwed on straight. And they've messed with him. There's no doubt about it. But can he just come in and play left tackle at a high level this year? He needs to. I'm not exactly feeling great about it, though.
How good do they need to be, though? I mean, what do they need to be good at? Like, if they're, say if they have a 1,000-yard rusher, is that good?
No, because they've done that the last 4 years, and I don't think we would argue the line's been good enough, right?
Right. So I think it will come down to how good that this unit meshes together, which I think it's going to be pretty decent. I actually do. I'm with Mark. Like, I think it's going to be pretty good.
They're as talented as they've been on the line in a long time. I mean, they're really talented, but you got to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're Broderick Jones, you can't let Aaron Rodgers get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what concerns me most. Like, I think they finally have a running back that's going to fit their scheme. And I think they're athletic enough to run more of the zone stuff. But can you protect Aaron Rodgers' blind side? I don't know. I don't have faith in that guy. I'd love to be proven wrong. I thought he'd be the answer, maybe not from day one. He'd always be a project, but now it's rubber meets the road time.
Yeah.
Like, prove yourself or you're going to be a swing tackle the rest of your career.
Right, right. I mean, I think if they get in trouble with Broderick Jones, that's what they have Darnell Washington. They'll just go 12 personnel more.
They'll play a bunch of tight ends, no doubt.
So, just to help him. But I think it's going to be a lot better. I'm not going to say it's going to be one of the best O-lines in the NFL, but I think it's going to be a lot better of them having a year under their belt, even if Broderick Jones has to move to left, and you have basically a rookie at right.
I'm fine with Faltano at right. I mean, I guess that's probably even selling him short. I'm excited about him at right tackle because they like to bring guys on slowly at times. Now, there was Kendrick Green, and they thrust him into action right away. But usually, even Joey Porter Jr.,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't until midway through the year that they really started giving him considerable snaps. They plugged Faltano in there at right tackle and rotated him with Broderick in that second game of the season against Denver. And he missed a ton of training camp. That is so far outside of what they normally do. Think about Roman Wilson. Roman Wilson, oh, you're hurt. You missed training camp. We'll bring you on slowly. Oh, you're ready to go. No, we're just going to shut him down. He's not mm-hmm. jumping on the moving train. So because they played Faltano as early as they did, I am bullish on him. It all hinges upon Broderick Jones.
Yep.
And it better work, because if not, you're going back to the drawing board, I guess is what I'm saying here. You've been building up this offensive line now for a few years.
I mean, I'm going to crush him regardless. Like, if it doesn't work, you're going to crush him. But if it does work and looks really good and Broderick looks great, then why did you have him there in the first place?
I know. You're almost damned if you do, damned if you don't, right?
I mean, if you loved Dan Moore that much, you would have paid him this offseason. Obviously, you were willing to let him go. Why not just have Broderick there?
He was never going to be the long-term answer,
right.
Dan Moore.
Right.
I know. I'm with you. And you could have at least played Dan Moore at right tackle.
Yeah.
Okay. So what? He's a better left tackle. It doesn't matter. Great.
You drafted your future left tackle to play him at right and to not play him at his natural position because a guy that you thought was good enough for right now but not good enough for your future.
Here, man, that's a really good point by you. If he plays well, yes, finally, Broderick, this is great. We always knew you could do it. Well, what the hell have you guys been doing?
Right.
And if he plays bad, no one's going to blame Broderick for it. They're going to blame the Steelers for it.
Yep.
I feel like Jarvis Jones, when he wound up being a bust, no one blamed the Steelers. It was all Jarvis just couldn't figure it out. Devin Bush was a little column A, column B. If Broderick Jones doesn't work out, the Steelers are getting murdered for it.
Yep.
And if he does work out, you're right. They're going to get crushed for that too. 412-928-9370. You could text us. brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Jerry Dulac in his chat named the Steeler that's going to turn the most heads this year, the most surprising Steeler this year. Who did he say? We'll tell you next. Neil Walker joining us in 10 minutes. Braxton Ashcraft pitched three innings last night, looked pretty good. Neil's thoughts on him, his thoughts on the suddenly hot budding superstar, O'Neal Cruz. But first, more football. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Jerry Dulac was doing his chat yesterday, and he said the most surprising Steeler this year will be Caleb Johnson. Steeler's biggest surprise.
Huh.
Does he qualify as a surprise, though?
No, not a rookie doesn't.
No.
When I think of surprise, it's like a player that we know, and it's like, oh, they took that step, like a Roman Wilson. Like a Joey Porter Jr. Like, that would qualify, for me at least, as a
like
as a
if
surprise.
JPJ took a step and became, yeah, like one of the best corners in football.
Keanu Benton.
Yeah.
That would be a surprise. Like, oh, we already know what you did last year, and it was kind of a baseline. Oh, you took this jump, and now you're this big-time Pro Bowl player. That would be a big surprise.
Who would fit that?
The Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
JPJ.
Yeah.
For me, at least. JPJ would be that guy, I think, that has the best opportunity to do that, to become a number one legit shutdown, you're going to make millions and millions of dollars corner. He has all the tools to do it.
I think Darius Slay being on the other side is going to help him too, because I think Darius Slay's got a lot left in the tank. I thought he played well last year, and Philly just had a ton of depth at the cornerback position, but you might see more targets, which might lead to the ball being taken away a few more times. I don't think JPJ had a bad year last year either. I don't think he took a step forward.
Right.
But I thought he had a fine season. That's not good enough, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, Caleb Johnson doesn't fit that bill. He's at some point going to be your starting running back. He was drafted to at some point be your starting running back. He fits the scheme, has more speed than Najee. I think a lot of people, myself included, think he's going to have a really good year. One thing I don't want to allow happen to myself this week is to fall in love with Roman Wilson. I bet you he looks good.
Yeah.
I bet you he's a big OTAs winner. And I'm not going to fall in love with Roman Wilson and believe what they're selling right now. I don't care how he performs, frankly. You still need another wide receiver. If Dulac and Caboli and Fittipaldo and Hathorn and everybody who's covering Steelers OTAs, wow, that Roman Wilson looks good. I'm not going to dismiss it. But that's not going to make me think they don't need an Amari Cooper or something.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the Ben Cherington conversation a little bit. It's like, oh, don't fool us that, you know, if the Pirates start winning games, that Ben Cherington should be the GM of the Pirates next year.
Right.
Like, no, you still need a different GM. Like, no, Roman Wilson could do all kinds of great things in OTAs. You still need another receiver.
Yeah, it'll answer my question perhaps for wide receiver 3.
Mm-hmm, right.
But I still need a wide receiver 2. Caleb Johnson, that's not going to be surprising. Caleb Johnson came out the other day and said he thinks he can win Rookie of the Year. He also likened himself to Derrick Henry, Doran. I like the young man's confidence. And I do want to hear the reports from the facility today, how he looks catching the football, because that was a knock against him. You go back and you look at Caleb Johnson's numbers, though. He caught 21 balls for Iowa. He was their third leading receiver. I don't want to dismiss his pass-catching ability.
Mm-hmm.
They pretty much forget how the forward pass works over there.
Yeah.
So when he catches 21 balls, I prorate that to like 45 in a regular offense.
Right.
So I'm interested to see how that looks. But look, I think Jaylen Warren will probably start the year as RB1, and Caleb Johnson will be mixed in there. Kenneth Gainwell may be a third down back. But
see,
I think
he would be my
season.
Surprise.
Kenneth Gainwell.
Because he's a new, you know, he's a offseason acquisition off a Super Bowl champion team, had a role with that team, was a backup to the best running back in the league. And I think what he does this year, it may not be the volume that some other guys may, you know, with Caleb Johnson and Jaylen Warren may give. But whenever he's in there, I think it's going to be like, oh, man, this guy's actually, like, really good.
Yeah.
You know, this was a great pickup. That's a surprise to me.
Oh, they're so much better from running back 1 down to running back 4, really, this year than they were last year.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cordero Patterson had a great career. He just wasn't the same guy at the end of the season. People are texting in saying I've called him Caleb Jones the entire segment. Not Caleb Johnson.
He said Johnson. Oops.
I'd love to be defensive, but that sounds like me.
Yeah, that's why I should probably let it go.
So my apologies. Texter, you wouldn't be surprised if Caleb Johnson had 1,200 yards and made a Pro Bowl. If he started from day one, no, I really wouldn't be surprised by that. Najee Harris had 1,000 yards every single season of his career. As a rookie, had the most yards he'd ever had in his career with 1,200. And I think Caleb Johnson fits the offense better and has better breakaway speed. So that really wouldn't surprise me if he had those kind of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he'd make the Pro Bowl.
If he made the Pro Bowl, okay, that's a different story. Well,
but if he start, I don't know that he will start every game. But let's say he did. 17 games, you get 1,200 yards.
Yeah, that's
doable.
Right.
Najee Harris averaged 3.8 yards a carry his rookie season and had 1,200 yards. So I think that might not be, I don't think that would be surprising. I think that might be the expectation. More people saying Johnson. I get, my bad.
You said Jones or Johnson?
I said Jones. His name's Johnson.
Hmm.
All right, Neil Walker is going to join us coming up next. And then now the national writer is also getting in on the TJ Watt contract watch. So we'll get to that at some point during the 9 o'clock hour. But Neil Walker's observations over the course of the last week about these Pirates, that's next. First, fam weather. How's my sheet? I'm all frazzled by saying Jones. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 68, low of 51, 55% chance of rain.